We're talking a little bit about BP during the first hour.
We're not going to be able to stop talking about this issue for years to come because the impacts will continue to be felt. And, there's a new oil spill being reported in China. And I think we're going to see oil disasters occurring worldwide, particularly as oil companies lobby governments to relax regulations and strive to maximize profits. But we've got an insider, a friend who spent a lot of time down there, actually working under the umbrella of both BP and the federal government. With us again is Drew Stevens of the GIS Institute. Welcome back to the show, Drew.
Thanks, Leslie. It's great to be back.
So you've had a lot of time to sort of process your experience. I know you've followed up. You've written letters to federal officials. I'm sure you've communicated with other people in your field. Give us a real brief sort of synopsis of what's happened since you left the site in HOMA.
Well, a couple of things in particular have happened that weren't happening while I was there, and that's that there is now data flowing between the government and BP, for instance. Last time I was here, we talked about NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and that system grew out of the wildfire work out west, and basically everybody's trained in it out west, law enforcement and firefighters. That got adopted by President Bush after 9/11 to be the way we will deal with disasters.
That's right, because there were communication problems during 9/11 that hindered some of the rescue work.
Exactly. So part of my effort was to get data, and specifically geographic information system data, GIS data, out to EOCs, the emergency operations centers, as well as just the parish presidents, and anybody that wanted to see what was going on. And it was really hard to do that from a security standpoint. So we were kind of pushing BP's IT department to kind of open things up.
And you don't mean national security, you mean corporate security.
That's correct.
So what changed, Drew? Why did the data all of a sudden start flowing?
Well, I think the letter that I wrote did circulate widely, and I think that may have had some influence. I can't sit there and say that's what it was. Also, there was enough public pressure and academic pressure to get this information. I think it just started making sense to do it. And so the Coast Guard is now replicating a server from Area Command in New Orleans with HOMA and BP's corporate server.
So are you confident that all the data to date that was gathered up to the point that it started to flow again is now in the hands of the government and somewhat publicly available?
I'm getting there. LSU is representing the state as far as this technical resource. So they're the third player in that triad that I discussed last time we talked of. The state, the feds, and the responsible party are supposed to share information. And I understand LSU is coming up to speed this week. Basically, they turn on a server and point it towards the Coast Guard and BP server, and they'll all mirror each other. When you say, am I confident that all the data are there and flowing well, I'm getting there. What I understand, talking last week to some people who are still on the ground there, the folks that are looking at dead animals, for instance, birds out in the water, it's a very tough subject to talk about. They are recording data in triplicate. So my sense that any foul play can happen is sort of relieved. The boat captains have to write that down on a piece of paper and log what time it is and a lat long, so they're recording a manual reading off a GPS. And then, for instance, the Fish and Wildlife Service also has to record this on paper. So the legal record is a paper record at this point in time.
We heard from a woman who was down in Louisiana. She's from our area, but she was with her husband doing wildlife rescue work, and she had to pound down doors and pull all kinds of strings just to get there. And she told us the resources are not in place to take care of the animals. In fact, BP has moved one of the rescue centers even further away from the coast, made it more difficult to get animals to the cleanup and rescue center. She also said that there are boats going out. Every single vessel that goes out has to have a BP representative on it. in terms of wildlife rescue, and that there have been boats that have gone out without any state or local or federal officials. And she's been told by eyewitnesses that BP has instructed people working for them to actually push oil-laden animals down under the surface of the ocean so that they'll just sink to the bottom and never be counted. I mean, have you experienced anything like that in your time there and afterwards talking to other people?
I haven't. My time in the field was relatively limited, but I did often mingle with people that were in and out all the time. I got really well connected with some of the Louisiana Department of Natural Resource officials, and you know, I wanted to know what they were seeing, and they'd share their stories, and you'd see that long face. So I was more connected to the passion and the people that were working hard. So I didn't have any firsthand, you know, sort of foul play stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, the folks that made that movie, The Cove, that won an Oscar last year for Best Documentary, they're into the sea life and the creatures, and they're doing some interesting sort of undercover work, if you will, and mm-hmm. It's not giving anything away. So I think we'll be hearing from them as time goes by. I've heard a few reports of whales being discovered and not recorded properly. So we'll see what they come up with.
Well, Drew, Leslie brings up a good point. It's one thing to do mock exercises to see if our national data and state data is all coordinated, all on the same page. But when you're dealing with the corporation that has caused a disaster, I think from this point forward, we have to expect we're going to see more and more of that. And so the government and the corporation's got to find some way to communicate. So as soon as the disaster strikes, everyone's on the same page. We just can't have the kind of delay we saw in this crisis.
Right. And we did see delays, and we did see processes not in place. I think there's a lot to learn from this disaster, as there always is. I don't sense a great deal of foul play or ill will, but I did see what collectively looks like a little bit of bumbling, and it adds up to delays and things not getting done. So I'll be quite interested and supportive of efforts to make sure we're ready. Now, from the GIS perspective, what's being built now will serve other disasters, and it'll be reasonably easy to plan and deploy the same sort of geographic information and processes in other places.
Are you at all concerned, though, that we won't have the political will to put that into place now that we know it's possible and now that the model has already been built and tested, that we won't necessarily have the political will? Because there are a lot of dirty hands in this disaster, let's face it. I mean, obviously you were around a lot of passionate people who had very focused jobs and they were doing them to the best of their ability. But you know, the government hasn't responded adequately. BP, at least initially, was telling us there isn't a spill. Oh, there's just a little bit of a leak. Oh, wow, it's spilling, but it's not that bad. You know, we got a lot of misinformation out of BP. So are you at all concerned that the most important players in this process, particularly the federal government, will not have the will to codify and create a system that can be deployed the way you worked at the site?
I do have those concerns, and I'm a people person when it comes down to it, and the participants in the process have to choose to enforce the process, to embrace it. And I think it's across all players that there's a little bit of fear to embrace the process. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote a letter that was reasonably juicy, and I saw a lot of people at a GIS conference last week where there are 15,000 people, and many of them read the letter, and no one wrote me back, but I was getting lots of thumbs up and way to goes about my letter.
Interesting.
And did you send it out via email so it could hit everybody?
I did, and I put it on our website, and it circulated widely.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been an interesting development on our Twitter feed that I'll share with you and our listeners when we return, but we've got to take a really quick break here on Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.